Welcome. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show with award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile. I'm Julie Dittmar, your guest host for today's show, and this is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And today I am just feeling grateful. I am grateful to Dr. Pat, to Bobby, Ava, Seth, BBS Radio, all the good folks that make these types of shows happen across the airwaves, over the internet, to provide this kind of uplifting inspiration is just such a gift for me and for you and our lives. And I was reflecting on this today and just how wonderful it is that we can listen live and we can go to the archives over and over again on thedrpatshow.com and be re-inspired again and again. So just grateful, just gratitude for all that is. And when I'm not sitting here, sitting in for Dr. Pat, I am a spiritual teacher and intuitive healer with my partner, Matt Kahn. And he's been on the Dr. Pat Show a few times. And our company is True Divine Nature. And what we always say is that we awaken people to their true divine nature. And we do this in our own unique way through satsangs and chants and energy healing. It's all about the energy. And today our guest is Gina Salah. And she shares a similar passion and mission, she says, but she does it in her own unique, beautiful way, which is singing us awake to who we are, singing us awake to who we are. And if you've never encountered her voice before, you are in for a real, real treat today, because her gift is her singing. One of her many gifts is her singing, and she just has the voice of an absolute angel. Oh, and there you have it. Gina Salah, vocalist, composer, sound healer, beautiful, beautiful voice. I've experienced her voice recorded and live, and each time I keep telling her it's beyond the human form. It's beyond the voice. It's exotic, and it's rich, and it's layered, and it's amazing. And her love of the human voice has taken her just all over the world, performing and studying many, many, many places, and she'll tell us a little bit about that today. And she's also had the very distinguished honor of being at the U.S. Pentagon, performing at the U.S. Capitol in front of the United Nations folks, and was the principal singer for Cirque du Soleil's O. And she has a repertoire spanning 23 languages. And having traveled with her to India, I have seen her use these languages on the street with the folks in India, and she's just an absolute amazing voice, amazing and delight, amazing human being. We are delighted to have you join us on the Dr. Pat Show today, Gina. So thank you. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Julie. It's my pleasure. And I would say you are just as bright and wonderful as anyone you see. Thank you so much.
We all are, as the earth angels that we are. We all just come with our different talents and different abilities. So how would you like to start today? I was contemplating this, and I was thinking, well, we usually start everything with an om. What would you like the invocation to be for today's show?
Oh, invocation. What a wonderful idea, taking the formless into form. Yeah, we could do an om shanti, 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 hi, since we just heard it sung. How about that?
How about that?
Together?
We can do this.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om.
Ah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bringing in the vibrations and bringing in the energy and a sacred feel and a sacred start. So thank you. So we spoke the other day, and I wanted to check in with you because I know that you said that you've had some losses in your life recently, and you said that your heart was feeling a little soft and a little tender, and wanted to see how you were doing. And with your training, with your career as a singer and someone who chants and leads people through the healing of chant, what do you do in a time like this for yourself? Do you find yourself expressing more through chant, or do you find yourself getting quiet?
Nice question. You know, the way I see it is, as you know, right, the heart feels everything, whether or not we allow it to express.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a big swell of emotion, we can certainly just allow ourselves to sit with it and feel it. But at a certain point, what I find is there's a reason that when we're in pain, we make a sound, or when we're in joy, we make a sound. It helps move the energy and move the energy through the body. So you're talking about the death of a couple of people that I know that you're talking is what Julie's mentioning. And what I find is I do both. I get quiet, I mm-hmm. listen within. For me, sounding and singing is as much a listening activity as it is an active sort of sounding out activity. So there's the sounded sound, what they call the ahat, or the struck sound, meaning sound literally made by two things hitting it, like your vocal cords. And then there's the anahat sound, the sound you hear within. So what I do in that case is I'll often, number one, I try to really stay in my body.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is to really stay present, in touch with my body. Otherwise, I can spin off into stories, into thoughts. And while that might be interesting, it doesn't necessarily provide the healing that I want to allow energy to move through and integrate the emotions in the body, through the heart, through the mind, through the whole aspects of this human body, mind, personality I call Gina.
Yes.
So what I like to do is I sort of get the news, I feel it. And then often what I find, especially if it's sad news, is I don't actually have much to express right away. But if I'm feeling, rather than let that stagnate, I might sit quietly for quite some time if I have the time. Or if I don't have the time, like that particular day I was quite busy, I make an appointment with myself to my heart, say yes, yes, yes. And I make a special time to sit. And then I'll sit down with an instrument, or if there's no instrument, I'll sway something to provide a container for my voice. So container can be rhythm, or it can be a drone, or it can be a song. And I just start inviting the voice to express. And out of that comes so much clarity. I also do that if I'm indecisive or unclear about something.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so often, right, my mind is the last to know. The mind wants to take credit for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to do this because of that, or I'm having, it claims to know everything, but really, I think of it often like the caboose, where there's some heart knowing that decides intuitively to do something or draws me in a certain direction, and then the mind says, well, obviously it was for this reason.
Well, absolutely, and with someone leaving our lives, I think our minds just naturally go to the place of review and stay a lot in the past of
mm-hmm.
the memories and the experiences or the what-ifs in, what ifs of the future, what I could have done, what I could have said.
Yeah.
And then there are no longer those opportunities. And so it's, I think, challenging for our minds to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're moving and you're swaying and you're chanting and you're sounding,
mm-hmm.
it's much more of a way to feel.
Yeah. And in fact, it's not such a new idea, right? Every mother knows when a child cries to hold it, to shake it, to move, and to sing. It's something that naturally, because everything is vibration, our bodies, if you just look on the rhythm of, there's the rhythm of breath, the rhythm of the heartbeat, the organs secreting, all of these different rhythms happening in the body. And then, of course, on the molecular level, everything which looks like a very solid object is mostly empty space looking solid because of the vibration. So what I find is we entrain with a certain rhythm, whether we start with a movement or whether we give our body something to entrain to create some sense of order and connection. Chanting does that really well. The voice does it. Our one's own voice, I believe, is the one's best, or I should say some of the most powerful medicine. And every culture uses it for that. Every culture in the world that I've been around or studied uses the voice as medicine.
See, that's the thing about you is you're so amazing in what you bring together in your music. You have the technique, you have the tools that you impart to your students and your audiences, but you also bring through these amazing teachings and life wisdom. So if you could share with us a little bit about how that came to be in Gina Sala, how that comes together in your life from your musical training and background around the world, and you had the opportunity to sit with Papaji during his lifetime, and
yes,
how that influenced these messages that you're giving us even today.
Oh, okay, thanks. Well, you know, I don't actually, to be honest, I don't know how it all works, but I do know that within a couple of years of being born, I was sitting quite often with an Indian chief, an Indian medicine man named Abe, and he would tell stories. And then about a year after that, around age 3, I was in a Hindu ashram up in Canada. And at that ashram, there was a lot of chanting and a lot of Swamis. It's a Yashodhara ashram in the Kootenays, based on Swami Sivananda's lineage. So Swami Sivananda sent a Western Swami, Swami Sivananda Radha, out to teach the principles, love, give, serve, meditate, realize, principles of awakening in the West. And at that time, there was a Swami, very famous, well-known, still today, quite well-known, although he's passed on, named Swami Narabrahmananda. And he used to come to the ashram and teach us. So my very first training was with some amazing teachers. I would say my first sort of voice stuff was with this medicine man who would tell us stories and sing us songs, which was interesting because even my parents weren't that interested. He would just come anyway. And then secondly, then with these Swamis. At the time, my brother was in school. My mother was there, but she was also busy. And so I had a lot of one-on-one time with the Swamis. And then growing up, like any kid, I actually lived out in the country, so I had a lot of time just singing and hanging out by myself with my animals and at the river, singing a lot at the river. I grew up Catholic and Protestant, so I sang in churches and had, you know, some definite challenges growing up, including asthma, actually. So singing was one way that I would know that I could breathe. It was a way to calm my nervous system and calm my mind and to express in an environment where I didn't feel like I could express everything. So I would say it was a combination of great early teachers and challenges that brought me this sort of respect and passion for the voice.
Which is just absolutely amazing, because all the times I've seen you perform and sing, and you and I've known each other for several years. We've mm-hmm. got, we're both from Seattle right now, and have been involved in the interfaith community here, very strong interfaith community, and you've been at the Bumbershoot festivals, and it's, you know, Gina Salah is all over town, and every time I've ever seen you perform, I never would have had a hint, a clue, that that asthma was a part of your life at all, because mm-hmm. you have such power in your voice and such, I don't want to say control, but I would just never, that would never enter my mind.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of surprising things, right? Another one is that when I was, you know, I think I was 10th grade or something, auditioning for a school play. It was The Wizard of Oz, and I think I was the only person not given a singing part at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because when I came to sing, like many of you experience, I'm sure, I got totally nervous, and the song that I could sing perfectly well at home, my throat got tight, my chest got tight, and it went somewhere. And as soon as I heard myself squawk, it was all over. Then it was completely, I squeaked it out and slunk away, and they're like, yeah, next you get the non-speaking part. And in fact, I remember I had to wear a gray leotard and be a rock in the poppy field in my little undeveloped body at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but what to me I think is the great thing about sort of the benevolence of the universe is it takes someone like me, gives me this experience, which becomes a great story for people who think, well, you don't understand because you could always sing. I went from that, where I couldn't even get a simple, like, be one of the Munchkins singing part, to later on being the lead singer for one of the biggest shows in the world, and one of the biggest shows in terms of audition, people wanting to audition for it.
And would that be the Cirque du
Soleil? It was the Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, Cirque du Soleil.
But so what's so interesting about that for me is no matter what we think our abilities are compared to someone else, we don't really know what's possible, right? We don't know what's possible. I believe that we each have our as you know, Julie, you talk about this, I know, but whatever it is that we care about, what we're passionate about, usually it's based on something that's been a challenge, but also a direct experience that worked for us.
Yes. I thought you were going to say that your challenge was you being shy, and I thought, don't you dare tell us that you were shy.
I was very shy, and in fact,
Really?
So here's an interesting
thing.
I've done those Myers-Briggs tests a few times
in
organizations that I'm part of. Every time, I'm complete introvert.
Wow.
And yet, my job, as you know, is I'm out there teaching all the time, several times a week.
Yes.
I'm a performer. I empower other people to sing. So it's sort of like when your calling is stronger, stronger than the apparent limitation.
Well, and you lead Kirtan. You're a Kirtanwala, and you are the focus of the entire band, the entire group. It's like you sit there with your harmonium. You start pumping away on that harmonium. And how tall are you? 5'2", which is about what I am. And it's like we are these tiny little people that are just like power-packed with, you know, so much energy. You and I and Matt and just go and go and go and go. And when you sit there with your harmonium and you have this smile on your face, this inner radiance going, and you start pumping away on that, and this huge voice comes out. I mean, people who've never seen that before are probably just, you know, shocked beyond belief. And then it's just infectious because everyone just totally gets into the groove. And you've got people who, you know, grew up with Catholic and Protestant backgrounds who are chanting Hindu chants and enjoying it like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I find perhaps there's a couple reasons for that. One is when we sing in a language that we're not accustomed to, we often don't have the social constraints or the baggage, actually, about what's possible with our voices. So we have a certain freedom there. And secondly, the chants that we're singing are mainly mantras. And mantras are syllables that, regardless of what you believe in terms of, I actually don't really have, I don't mind what someone's spiritual path is. I know that which is divine is bigger than any particular name we have, and we're all called to the right spiritual path. But the mantras themselves, just like herbs, have a certain effect. Mantras have a certain effect. And these mantras are certain sacred sounds, sacred syllables, that are really tried and true, able to create a strong vibration which calms the vibration of thought of the mind. So what they do is they provide a strong resonance, a strong vibration, so that the mind can rest. And as you know, when the mind rests, pretty much the problems disappear.
Absolutely. I mean, I read an interview once with Krishna Das, and he was talking about when he went over to the ashrams of India, and he was there, and he was learning to chant, and he did these mantras over and over again, 15 minutes, 18 minutes of the same thing over and over again. He's like, I was bored out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, wait a minute, out of my mind.
Yeah.
And he totally got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, once I sunk into that place of, wow, the mind's out of the way. Yes, it's very repetitive. It's very much like rocking. It's like we talked about at the beginning, very much like that rocking, that swaying. It's very repetitive and gets, you know, you and everything else about you out of the way so you can sink deeper into that open heart space and some peace and relaxation in your life.
Yeah.
Some joy. It opens, we like to say, Matt and I like to say, opens the doorway of the heart to let out what needs to be let out and to invite and bring in more joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's how I see it. I also feel like, you know, the mind is this really, really hardworking servant that's always trying to help and always trying to come up with some solution. And I'm really glad it does, because otherwise I wouldn't know whose teeth to brush and how to balance my checkbook. But at a certain point, it just deserves a rest. And it's really hard for overworking minds to know how to rest. So it's like give them something to rest into, which is the mantra. And mantra, by the way, man comes from the Sanskrit root mind. And tra comes from tre, for freeing. So to free oneself from the mind so that who we really are, which is already radiant joy, radiant love, the peace within, peace that passes understanding, can actually shine. You know, in the same way that, you know, the cloud might cover the moon, but it doesn't actually touch the moon. The moon is fine.
Yes.
So it's so, the same.
So before you go into kirtan, I don't want to say performance, because it's not really a performance. It's a kirtan experience of the call and response chanting back and forth. What do you do? Always wanted to know this. What do you do moments before you arrive at the yoga studio to sit down with us for kirtan? Are you doing anything to, I mean, probably vocal warm-ups or something to get yourself in the mindset and the place, because you've probably been coming from wherever you've been coming from, doing whatever you've been doing, whereas we just show up and we get in that place by doing the kirtan with you. So as the leader of it, how does that work the moments before you arrive with us?
Well, you know, for me, it's a combination of different things. I always check in with the body, with the instruments. So if the instrument's tight, if my body's tight, I might do some moving, some shaking, some lip bubbles, like some yawning. But really the main thing is, I mentioned earlier that I was shy growing up, and I often, before
I... No, everyone's going to yawn now.
Yeah, go ahead and yawn. Yawning is your friend. Yawning releases the soft palate, helps lubricate the vocal apparatus. But what I find is, you know, so I actually, I'll just finish. After I grew up, you know, and in the ways that I did, I ended up living in Tokyo and walking through the Himalayas, collecting songs, and then studying with a lot of different sound healers and people from different parts of the world. And what I found is common to all of these traditions is, for one, there's always something that you do every time. A way, like you did today, an invocation to get in. For me, my invocation, in addition, is I sort of touch and greet my body a little bit, my chest. I might bounce. I just really feel. I scan my whole body as if, hello, there's my head, my chest, my neck, my face.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, Gina, because I want to make sure that people know about your website and go there, because there, I think there were actually clips on your website or on YouTube that had that.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I greet the body with kindness, with love and affection, because everything opens to love and kindness. I mean, flowers, plants, animals, spiders, body, your voice. So I make it my practice to counteract any other idea that might come across if this is the beloved instrument of the divine.
Oh.
Yeah?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's get people experiencing this. And, in fact, they can go there right now with us to GinaSala.com. G-I-N-A-S, as in Sam, S-A-L-A, GinaSala.com.
Yes.
And you've got your calendar there so people can follow you and your adventures around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to Egypt this year and India later this year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I lead sound study tours, as you know. You came on one.
I did.
Yeah, every year.
We were chanting, we were riding camels and bathing in the Ganges River.
Mm-hmm.
Holy, holy.
Yeah. So if anybody ever has the desire to experience the sacred vibration of India and the real India, where we get in beyond sort of snap a picture, it's a great tour to come on.
And you know some of the most incredible people there, just, you know, some really warm, beautiful human beings that their hearts and their faces are forever in my mind and my heart. As I look back at my photos and I remember the chants with you, and it was just such an amazing sound healing experience to be at the birthplace of some of the chants that we experienced with beyond words. It truly was beyond words, and I think I ran out of adjectives for India on day two.
It's true. It does feel like. I remember day three, it just feels like you've already been there 2 weeks in terms of how much you experience, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that people go check out the multimedia part of your website as well, because that is where you have videos, and you've got lots of YouTube clips, and the most gorgeous photos I think I've ever seen of you ever, ever, ever.
Oh, hallelujah.
I don't know where you had, I think some of these are at the Ganges, aren't they?
You know, I have to look. Probably so.
Because you're all dressed in a sari and...
Oh, you know where that is, Julie? That is Rishikesh, right next to where we were every morning, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We would wake up and we would greet the river and we would sing to her and...
Yeah.
And you taught us the Gayatri mantra that we did 108 times in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were at the cave where the Gayatri mantra was born.
Yes.
So it's a really great time. Yeah, if you're interested, check out GinaSala.com. Give me a call. Everybody's welcome. especially if anyone's been called to India. You know, it's got a transformational vibration there, a powerful chance to not only because you leave your regular pattern of life. So anytime we go to something that's completely outside of our norm, we're going to have some transformation or some new perspective. Couple that with this powerful vibration and the people we meet and the practice of chant and the sights. It's powerful, as I'm sure you'll attest.
Absolutely. And it was one of those things because Matt, my partner, was with me as well. And we both, at the end of the trip, were like, we'd follow Gina anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's nice.
Because you really know how to create sacred space wherever we go, whether we were on a train or a taxi or a, you know, whatever kind of transportation, and, you know, and just however we were when we got to where we were going, just landing there and helping us truly be there and to have the fullest and richest experience that we possibly could have with, you know, the people that you know and the new friends that we met along the way. It was beautiful. So definitely check out GinaSalad.com and the tours and the teaching. Are you doing a lot of teaching these days?
I do a lot of individual sessions. I have one more Tuesday night class in my Tuesday series. If you check out the website, there's a lot coming up, but I will be out of town a fair amount in the spring, so I'll have some classes when I'm in town. I'm also taking a short sabbatical to work on some recordings. So,
yay, hallelujah, yay.
But definitely, I have some things coming up in April, too, and I have some things, you know, I have one or two things in February and March. So
we want some Gina recordings.
Thank you, yeah.
Definitely, and you have such a beautiful song that is truly your very own, and I would love to hear the inspiration for it. It was Because the One I Love Lives Inside of You.
Yeah, you know, that song was born, you know, what I find is when I allow myself to connect in the heart, then songs become born. So that song actually is inspired by a poem, a version of Hafez, translated by Daniel Ladinsky. And in fact, he wrote me a letter saying, you go for it.
Yeah.
Because it's different than his version a bit. But it was really just seeing somebody and wanting them to know that they're completely beloved and whole. And of course, the human part of Gina always needs the reminder too, right?
Yes.
So it really just came through as a reminder to the humanity in us of our ultimate divinity. But it came through specifically when I was just thinking of somebody who seems to have forgotten their brilliance.
Can you share a couple lines with us?
Sure, I just walked over to my altar.
Oh, how nice.
Because the one I love lives inside of you, I lean as close to you as I can. Because the one I love lives inside of you, I lean as close to you as I can. And then it always goes into, I love you, 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 just as you are. I love you, 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 just as you are. It goes back into Because the One I Love lives inside of you, I lean as close to you as I can. And I would say that that sums up the whole essence, the whole passion and purpose I have for being on this planet, is to see the divine in everyone. Because when I do that, then the heart opens, and true remembrance, you know, is here.
Ah, Gina. I have shivers, and I'm practically in tears just listening.
Mm.
That's the beauty of the voice and the beauty of music, is that it goes straight to the heart and just evokes emotion.
Yeah.
And so whatever needs to be released, whatever needs to be felt, it's like just all ripe and juicy, and just the right note can just make it burst and bloom.
It's true, isn't it? So let's try an experiment. It just occurs to me in this moment, since I'm sitting here over at my altar.
You're going to make me cry more?
You big open heart. But I just thought, here we are talking, right, Julie, you and I, and talking about experiences. And I already told some story earlier about being, you know, trying out for a play. A lot of us probably had a teacher or someone tell us we couldn't sing. But what's the difference if I sing? So I'm just going to, right now a story has popped into my head. Notice how it's different if I sing it. And this is one thing I do in my workshops and classes with people, is I help them find their voice in a way to use the voice that's not just like a data technician expression, but in a way, whether they're speaking or singing, to connect to the emotion behind it and to help find heart songs. This isn't exactly a heart song, but I'm going to just try an experiment, which I'm just trying with you, just like you. I'm here not knowing what it'll be.
Absolutely. Right. Go for it, our listeners, and we're ready.
So I was walking through the Himalaya all by myself, as I had done for several months. And once in a while, the monkeys would steal my only food. It changed my view of monkeys for a while. And I was praying. And it wasn't just because I was lost on yak trails, which did happen, so I overstayed my visa for a couple of months. Because I felt like being on my own. But the very first day when I left the monastery where I had been living, it was a Tibetan monastery. And I went walking up into the Himalayas. I had my Sony Walkman to collect songs. And it wasn't even for the most magnificent reason that I was off to collect songs. I was in love with someone and it was going to be a gift. And there was an old man and a young boy who were following me. And someone had warned me people were dangerous in the Himalayas. And they said, you better be careful, they'll rip you off, you can't walk as a woman alone. Watch out for the opium bandits, you can't do it, you'll be in danger. So when I stopped each time, because it was all uphill that very first day, I would sit down and the old man and the boy who was about 13 would stop too. And I'm not exactly proud to say it, but I would glare at them as strongly as I could. Like, get away, leave me alone, cello, go on your merry way. And they would look at me with their big eyes, and they would not move away. They'd just sit there until I decided to get up again, and then they'd follow me again. This went on for about 8 hours, I would say. And no matter how rude I was or how much I glared, they still followed. When we reached the top of where I was trying to go, I reached a little hut, and they gave me some water. And at that moment, the old man and the boy, they took a sip of water from the people in the hut, and then they went trotting back down the mountain at sunset. And there was a young boy, we were only a day's walk out of Kathmandu, and he spoke a little English. This was 1992. And I said, hey, where are they going? It's getting dark, and why did they come here? And he said, Baini, oh sister, they only came to make sure you'd be safe. They said you started to get lost at the beginning, and they wanted to make sure you knew the way. And so even though I was spending all that time thinking these self-defensive thoughts and glaring at them, they never turned away. And at that time, I knew I was protected. I knew I was guided. And it became the most amazing several months just in the divine vibration. And my obstinance and defensiveness were still there. And in that light of their love, they became exposed and melted away. It reminds me of a song that came to me the other day about how you can trust that which you know is loving all the time. And you can lay back in the arms of love. Lay back in the arms of love. Rest back in the arms. You are safe from harm. Rest back in the arms of love. And so since that day, my intuition has gotten so much clearer, and I feel so guided and protected all the time. And even if I forget this song which came through my heart one day, rings in my head to remind me it's all right. And we can lay back in the arms of love. Lay back in the arms of love. Rest back in the arms. We are safe from harm. Rest back in the arms of love.
Oh, and that, my dear, is Gina Sala. That, folks, Gina Sala. Oh, my God. Oh, what a treat. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Do you notice, though, how different it is if I sing the story than if I just speak it?
Absolutely.
Isn't it amazing? The voice is such a powerful conveyor of that which is beyond just idea, that which is imagery and emotion and spirit and...
Well, it brought back for me immediate memories of our India travels, because you sang check-ins with the group, because there were about 10 of us on the group, which was just a perfect size. It was great, and sometimes they're a little larger and smaller, and that was what our group was, and it was joyful and fun and sad and great check-ins with stories like that. And you had us check in with song.
Yeah, I remember you doing it too.
So we brought our voices in and we told stories of our day and our adventures. We check in the afternoon after we'd been out and having life adventures, or evening check in.
Yeah.
And chant in the evening. And it was a fun way to do it. And
you may remember at the beginning of the trip, several people were like, "No way am I singing to other people." But by the end, it became something that everyone wanted to do. So there's never any pressure. But
yeah.
What we find is when the voice frees up, when we find more freedom in the voice, our whole being feels more free. So the way to do it isn't to push someone into it and make them, but...
No, it's just the beauty of the expression of that. It's just so, so, so great. So thank you for sharing that with us. And in that way, what a tremendous gift. So we have a few moments left, and I have just a couple of other quick questions I wanted to get to, and just reminding people again, reminding our listeners that it's GinaSala.com. You can hear other clips and see other clips of her songs and her work and her stories and her teachings and tours and all the great things that Gina's up to. And I'm wondering, as you're up to all these things, what are you working on this year, personally, spiritually, vocally?
You know, boy, that's a good question, isn't it?
I'm all working on something, and I mean, it's you know, what I'm working on today, or what I'm working on, you know, this month, or this year, this life.
I would say, for me, it would probably be, you know, know, in Indian classical music, I do sing in a lot of languages, and I love the rhythm and the rootiness of African and some of the, like, passionate of the Eastern European. But there is something about structure which provides a lot of freedom. I know in jazz, for example, what gives the jazz musicians a lot of chance to improvise is that there's a set structure of chords. And in myself, because I tend to be very much in the moment, very much in flow, I'm realizing how much freedom I can have by setting structure. So oddly enough, what my personal practice right now is to have a lot more structure, which is a little counterintuitive when what I'm wanting is more of the creativity and the freedom. But I'm talking about sort of getting up at more of a regular schedule, because as a musician, I can sort of have my early morning 7:30 sound checks if I'm singing at a Center for Spiritual Living or something, 7 o'clock sound check actually. And then I might be out late like I was this week, you know, the very same day or the next day at a gig in the evening. So I'm working on setting very clear structures for my own practices, and working within structure artistically and creatively as well, just as a sort of experiment in how to create and set structures for myself. I'm not saying that's what everyone should do, but because it's actually my challenge, that's what I'm playing with right now.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that will serve you well.
Yeah.
And as you grow and flourish and bring what you're bringing to the masses even more so, because I know you said you were going to be doing some more recording this year.
Yeah, I've got, boy, I feel, who did I tell that to? I feel like a pregnant mom with, like, quintuplets.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, so I've got a lot of different projects. I have some teaching CDs and DVDs. I've got some original CDs and some very traditional mantra and such recordings that I'm ready to put out there.
Well, these are recordings of your own, because you have been, you know, the voice of Cirque du Soleil, and the you've been on so many other recordings with Dean Evanson and Scott Huckabee and Soundings of the Planet recordings, Sonic Tribe, and all these different things. But these are truly going to be your babies.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I really am. It's actually funny too, because I had done some voices for a compilation that a lot of ad agencies use. So my voice is on some commercials too, and it'll be so nice to have my voice just on the recordings here. I don't really mind. There's, I think, a SeaWorld and a Canon commercial and things like this, but it's so nice to have. I'm just really looking forward to sinking into the recording. I just totally adore it and love it. And I'll do some of the recording in India and some of it here.
Well, it's such a nice thing, because it goes on and almost takes on a life of its own without us, and with. CDs or whatever kind of recording and playing devices that are coming down the line with technology, it's something that just lives on and on and on and on and on. So you do the work once, but I don't think you can ever possibly know how far and wide that will reach and how many lives and the ways that it will touch people's lives.
Yeah. And my big hope really is, you know, one of my passions, although I love artistically sharing and writing, is, you know, as you know, my passion is singing us awake to who we are, which means our creativity also. So, you know, especially for people who think they can't sing or that there's something wrong with their voice, I just so hope that they get some comfort and peace out of the recording, some inspiration out of the wackiness of some of them, some inspiration out of what's possible in one voice. And then if there ever a question, that they just come, whoever you are. This caravan knows no despair. So come to a class, come to a workshop, come to an individual session, because I've seen lives just be completely transformed by the experience of realizing, after all so many years, a lifetime, that a part of themselves that they thought was less than.
Well, and you are way too modest, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. Come sit with Gina. Come sit and have the experience of what Gina Salah will do with your brain and do with your heart and will bring out of you in a way that you didn't even know was possible, because, you know, we all have things that we're working through around voice and sound and expression in that way, and there's so much beauty in what you do that you bring out in others, and it's so great to experience.
Oh, thank you, Julie.
So what is one last little bit of advice or message that you would like to leave us with today for singing ourselves awake to who we are?
You know what I would say? Just sing. Take 3 minutes a day for a week and sing to yourself. Take 3 or 5 minutes. It can be in the shower. But give your chance, or just hum. Humming does all kinds of things. It actually helps bring the brain into modulate the brainwave frequencies. It helps increase your listening ability, your focusing abilities. So hum or sing for a few minutes every day, just even by yourself, and see what happens. Or, of course, consider coming to a class or workshop if you're in my area or I'm in your area.
Absolutely, and you are all around the globe. So, Gina Salat, thank you so much for joining us on the Dr. Pat Show today.
Thank you so much, Julie.
And again, it's GinaSalat.com. Check that out. Learn more about Gina and more about yourselves in the process and the beauty of your own rich, unique voice. So thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Dr. Pat for letting me share this time with you. I'm Julie Dittmar, and until next time, wishing you a beautiful awakening to your true divine nature.